here she is, Wonder Woman herself, travel journalist Suzanne Wright.
Hey, Roy, how you doing?
I'm doing terrific. How about you?
Super duper.
Well, you've really outdone yourself with the photos and this article on Indonesia. I mean, I just can't believe the photos. For those of you listening, you must go to Suzanne's article at ttrn.com and obviously read the article more in depth, which when I printed it out was 17 pages. But the photos are absolutely incredible. Everything Suzanne writes is wonderful, but this one, you've really done a marvelous job on this, Suzanne.
Oh, thanks.
It's just terrific.
It's a long one. You know, I normally do not write articles this long, but I couldn't think of one thing to leave out.
Well, I wouldn't think I would leave out, but when I was going through the photos, I see a set of feet sticking out from the water there with a lot of flowers around it, and I was trying to...
Well, anyone who's had the privilege of visiting Indonesia and Bali in particular well knows, even armchair travelers know, that there is a tremendous spa culture in that area of the world. And, you know, I had to partake. And it occurred to me as I was sitting in one of the Aman properties and getting a mandi lular, which is a treatment that is meant to prepare brides for their wedding night, Javanese royalty, in fact, for their wedding night. And there's a similar kind of a pampering preparation that takes place for men. But as I was sitting there in this fragrant milk bath with the rose petals floating on top, and I'd had a pedicure the day before, I thought, you know, this would be a cute picture.
And you just
reach for my handy camera, and there you go. Not to drop it in the water.
Do you happen to have one of these cameras, you know, with a little strap onto your forehead there? So you,
like a miner?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, first of all, you've been to Indonesia before, as you mentioned, the island. But, you know, I just noticed as I was reading through this was something that I find just a little bit surprising, because that... they only achieved their independence from the Dutch in 1949.
Kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you think with the history and the number of years that this goes back to, and Bali and all of these things we hear, that it was just as early as 1949.
Right. And I did not take a historical trip. My trip was not in purpose historical. It was more spiritually oriented. But that was an interesting factoid to me, along with the actual sheer size and scope of the country itself. I mean, I focused my trip in and readers will see this when they're online, in Bali, which is the best known Indonesian destination for non-Indonesians, for Westerners, if you will, along with the island of Java, which was my personal favorite, and the island of Lombok. And you know, there are somewhere upwards of 6,000 inhabited and 10,000 uninhabited islands, 350 ethnic groups, and the population is just barely behind that of the U.S. It's a massive, massive part of the world.
And the mix seems to work.
It works beautifully.
And that's the beauty of it all, isn't it?
That's right.
Why can't we learn something from this?
Well, again, you know, it points out that even though, unfortunately, the headlines of a lot of the news outlets that we're all privy to seem to focus on the chaos and the not getting along of ethnic groups.
No, you're right.
And the strife and that sort of thing. I mean, it really is multiculturalism in action when you're talking about, you know, Buddhists living next door to Muslims, living next door to Catholics, living next door to Christians, just all the way down the line. This is a very, very multi-layered, multi-textured culture that has had its share of challenges. I mean, I think, you know, no one who is interested in the larger world is not aware that Indonesia has had, you know, they've had their share of misfortunes in terms of man-made misfortunes as well as earthquakes and things like that. So there's a certain graceful beauty to how the people manage their lives.
And a particular calmness, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's real hard not to let that wash over you and really, you know, I started my story by saying that incrementally, I believe, Asia in general changes a person. And I think if you fall in love with the region, if you fall in love with Southeast Asia and you begin to go country to country, you begin to see this repeating pattern. And it's very different than Western life.
Absolutely. And the thing is that you need to take the time. You just can't rush through something like
right.
this as Americans tend to do. Let's kind of walk through it, if
sure.
you will. Now, you've stayed at some of the luxury resorts. Vicky Oberoi is an old friend of mine, and so I see you've stayed at one of his hotels. But
You know what? Let's dive in and talk about Lombok, because Lombok
okay,
is
yeah,
really,
good.
Really interesting.
Good.
Lombok is a much, much smaller island than Bali, and Bali itself is not a large island. But I came over. I took a short flight, 20-minute hop to Lombok, and many, many people who both live and work on the island, expats as well as locals, will tell you that it's Bali on rewind, if you will. It's just a quieter area. It also enjoys a really interesting position in terms of where it's located in the world. It's called the Lombok Strait. It's a trench that marks the place where two tectonic plates, the Asian tectonic plate and the Australian
right.
tectonic plate, meet under the water, deep under the water. And scientists believe that that's why there are differences in both topography and climate between Lombok and Bali. It's much, much drier in Lombok.
Interesting.
And the second largest volcano in the entire country is on Lombok. And yet it has many of the same really alluring features of Bali, you know, gorgeous beaches, beautiful wildlife, you know, unspoiled jungle, rainforest.
And you say that the first settlers were from India or Burma.
Or Burma, yeah. And today the ancestors of those folks are called Sesak, and they maintain a rather simple agrarian life. And certainly if you stay in a property like Oberoi, you know, they can really connect you with guides who can give you an intellectual, cultural understanding of the region. And, you know, whether you go by a horse-drawn cart or whether you take a private car, whether you go by bike, whether you go by foot, I can't stress enough to listeners the value of hiring a local guide.
It absolutely.
Makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely.
And that explains why I had access to some incredible pictures and why I was able, you know, to go to some local traditional villages and, you know, just by bringing some pencils or some crackers or some candy, you know, you're very welcomed into the home. And, you know, the homes are very modest, but, you know, very tidy. It's interesting to see the architecture. It's interesting to talk to people about their life, and I think it's, again, it's very removed for most of us who, you know, toil away on keyboards and in cubicles.
And you did some diving while you were there, didn't you?
I did do some diving. Yeah, that was fantastic. I mean, you gotta love a day where you get off an airplane, you take an hour's winding, beautiful ride past monkeys in the street, you know, have lunch, and then go out on a dive boat that the Oberoi provides within what, 2.5 hours. Yeah, super.
Right.
Just great. So, yeah, good diving there. It was a little bit stirred up. There had been some storms in the area that had washed through and created some disturbances in the water. But as I stated in the article, you know, definitely saw big turtles, lots of fish, manta rays.
What about the weather during this time you were there?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, maybe this is what Al Gore has been warning us about, but... Global warming, global changes in climate. This is supposed to be the rainy season. I was in Indonesia in December and January, and that should be the rainiest season. I had very little rain. I think I had maybe in a two-week span between these three different, you know, and this is the equivalent of going from perhaps from, you know, Chicago to Maine or Seattle to Texas. So spanning some geography there. Probably had a day and a half, 2 days of inclement weather. Very little.
Well, I mean, that's super, because sometimes we hear different stories about, you know, those areas and different...
This is not a monsoon area, unlike India.
Right.
They do not have the kind of massive storms that would be devastating as a general rule. And I hope now I don't hear a headline about that next week. But even in the rainy season, you know, you might find what you do down there in Florida, Roy. You might just find that, you know, a couple hours of rain and then, boom, the sun's out. Off you go.
Now, you always bring up an interesting point that I'm sure that many of our listeners are interested in, and it's going it alone, whether it's Asia or anywhere else. And you do travel frequently, as you say, and frequently alone.
Mm-hmm.
So let's chat about that a little bit, if you will.
Well, you know, I'm as regular listeners know, I'm definitely not the person to wait around for the appropriate companion, whatever that means in a listener's ear.
Except for mushing.
And you know, this is what I do for a living. So, you know, I need to be able to go and go at a minute's notice and travel far and wide. And you know, I just don't carry fear with me. It's not one of the things that I pack. That's what I tell people.
Right.
I mean, I live in Atlanta, and although the Atlanta CVB may not want to know this or hear this, you know, Atlanta and, in fact, most major U.S. cities are, in my opinion, and statistically are far more unsafe than almost any far-flung destination that a listener would go to. And particularly in Asia, I have found it is very easy to travel alone as a woman. And you can move very freely. I mean, you might be the object of some curiosity, but it's certainly always well-intended. There's nothing I've ever found malicious. I have not ever felt this need to look over my shoulder. I mean, I have, and I discuss in the article some of my you know, just musings about why that is, but I just believe it's part of that cultural calmness and respect, and it's a certain lack of aggression that we don't have in the Western world. So I would encourage anyone who's interested in traveling to any part of Southeast Asia or Asia at a larger clip to just go it alone. You stay in great hotels, you hire local guides, you can have as much company as you like.
Right.
And the fine kind of, a fine quality of company, a very enriching quality of company.
Very well said. The only time that I've found that you might have been a little bit more cautious was dog mushing.
Yeah, and that was right there in the great snowy Canadian north, right?
It was indeed. And you were very cautious about who was with you on that sled, as I recall.
Exactly. So yeah, I find it's very, very easy to move alone as a woman. And I think, you know, just take the precautions that you would take, you know, any place, which means, you know, be sure, I mean, really commonsensical things. Be sure you can manage your own luggage. I mean, I cannot tell you how many people I see struggling with oversized bags and too many of them. And, you know, then they're worried about having to leave it. But, you know, I do find that, you know, as Blanche DuBois said, the kindness of strangers is something you can really rely on when traveling. It's one of the great gifts of travel.
Yeah, absolutely. And the freedom of, as you say, doing what
absolutely.
You want to do and when you want to do it.
When you want to do it on your own schedule. I mean, you
right.
know, even if I travel with people, a lot of times they can spend a week and they've got to go home.
Exactly.
And I spent altogether on this particular journey 5 weeks, so two in Indonesia. Oh, and I must tell any of our listeners who are at all interested in spiritual heritage sites, Java and Borobudur would be in my list of world wonders. I mean, I you know, I've seen the list of the seven world wonders, and I would
right.
add this into the list.
Yeah, I haven't been there, but it is it's on my list of
yeah,
things to do.
Yeah, it's incredible. Java is a really, really beautiful island, and there, you know, in addition to doing some voluntourism, which is really the idea of going and volunteering and giving back some time when you're in a land far from your own,
right?
Visiting an orphanage that was near the Yamanjiwo property, which is a spectacular property, kind of echoing the architecture of Borobudur. And Borobudur is the world's largest Buddhist temple, and it is nestled in the middle of a predominantly Muslim part of the world. So again, we talked about that multiculturalism and that living together, and you know, it was just a stunning thing to take a sunrise walk there and take an elephant, you know, ride back through the village, and just, I mean, it was bewitching. I don't know any other way to say it. It was just bewitching.
Suzanne, it's a marvelous article, and for our listeners, please do yourself a favor. Go to the site, ttrn.com, and go to Suzanne's article. There's some really incredible photos, and you can read her article in depth. It's a super story, super article, and if we had an award to give, I'd award it to you today.
Oh, well, thanks, Roy. I hope everyone enjoys the article, and love to hear from you what you think about it.
Where are you off to next?
Gosh, I'm going to a place you've been. I'm going to Jordan.
You are?
I am.
You're going to go with
Jordan at month's end, and I am really excited.
You're going with our friend Giselle.
I am. I'm really, really looking forward to it. It will actually mark my first time to technically set foot on Middle Eastern soil, so I'm looking tremendously forward to that.
Well, give her a big hug and a kiss for me. She's a great gal, and you'll just love the trip.
Oh, I can't wait. Well, good. Thanks so much, Roy.
And look forward to... Listen, we look forward to hearing your report on Jordan when you come back.
Well, fantastic. And everybody, do yourselves a favor. And if Indonesia in general is not on your list, and Bali and Java and Lombok in particular, add it to your list and get there now. It's really one of the most authentically preserved spiritual cultures left in the world. So get there now.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Take care, Roy.
All right, bye
bye-bye.
For now. Bye.